is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Well, be careful out there, boys and girls, because it is slick in a lot of places, especially on those bridges and so forth. It is just treacherous because of the freezing rain, and that's extending over large portions of the state right now. Warmer temperatures and rain creating icing conditions. Some places could see damaging ice as it builds up on the trees and so forth, causing limbs to come down, could put some power out in different places. But I'm most concerned about you driving in the car right now. Focus on what you're doing. Pay attention because it's very, very important. All right. Talking about what's coming up this week, obviously it's a historic week in America. Donald Trump, the man that so many pundits said could not win. They laughed, said he could not win. It couldn't happen. No way. It never happened. He can't win. He wouldn't even get the nomination. He's not a serious candidate. He's this. He's that. He's a lot of things. What he is, he's the 45th president of the United States here in less than 4 days. That's what he is. Meanwhile, the left continues to attack. Some 40 Democratic lawmakers say they won't attend the inauguration. I think that's shameful. If you don't respect Donald Trump, okay, I can say I understand that you have differences of political opinion. I can say I understand that. What I cannot respect is the lack of respect for the office of the President of the United States. Now, John Lewis, one of the guys that's leading this boycott, the congressman from Georgia, a former, you know, civil rights activist, or maybe current civil rights activist, I suppose, if you ask him, says that he is not a legitimate president. He doesn't believe that Donald Trump is a legitimate president, so he's going to boycott Donald Trump. And apparently this is big news, except that, you know, John Lewis also boycotted George W. Bush's inauguration. Here's what we're going to do with this bit of news from John Lewis. It's now been filed. Perfect. All right, let's move on to something more important, like Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary. He was a guest on, believe it or not, MSNBC, and he was discussing the options that the president-elect has when it comes to replacing Obamacare, which has consumed a tremendous amount of the conversation, even this morning talking a lot about Obamacare. And I wanted you to hear what Sean Spicer had to say. He is the incoming press secretary for Donald Trump. Sean Spicer on MSNBC. It's clip 7. Go.
So one of the things that he's looking at is the business side of this. How can you work with the drug companies to bring some of the cost down through greater competition on the pharmaceutical side? But then he's also looking at the market access piece of this in terms of the market competition.
I guess we were on the wrong spot there for a moment. So it is. All right, well, there's just a little bit of a problem there. So let's go on to clip 8, because former U.S. Senator Scott Brown was a guest on Fox News also talking about Obamacare and doing the fix. And he said Democrats never had any intention whatsoever of fixing Obamacare. Here's Senator Scott Brown. Go.
They have an amazing opportunity to actually get things done, because when I first got there, the Republicans and some Democrats brought up over, I think, almost 400 amendments. They could have fixed it. They had every opportunity. So when they say, oh, we want to fix it, it's all lip service, because if they passed one amendment, they could have actually destroyed the whole thing. So they chose not to do anything. And Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi weren't able to merge their two plans. And that's why you have Obamacare as it stands. And it was a result of, obviously, the election and taking away the supermajority. And we had many opportunities. We spent a month on amendments, and they didn't pass one. So I find it so hypocritical. Megan, your dad will tell you this, that they now want to allegedly, you know, fix it. Let's cut the crap, okay? They don't want to fix it. They want to make a statement, and let's put the American people first on these things.
Can you say cut the crap? Well, Scott Brown can. He's been a guest on this program, former U.S. Senator from Massachusetts. You can still hear that accent in his voice for sure. Expect to have him back on the program soon, as a matter of fact. Looking forward to that. Obamacare is going to be one of the things that is in focus early. Now, if you didn't see it, Rand Paul, a day or two ago, said that there is a plan ready to go. Rand Paul says they have a plan prepared and in waiting. And I'm like, okay, that's going to be kind of a surprise to me. We'll see what happens. Of course, Rand Paul and Donald Trump famously did not get along on the campaign trail. Of course, Donald Trump really didn't get along with any of the other candidates particularly well on the campaign trail, come to think of it. Rand Paul, one of those, but it would be monumental, in my opinion, if there was a plan ready to go, because we've talked about it in this program that I don't think the Republicans have their act together quite yet on Obamacare as far as the repeal and replace plan goes. And if they don't, then they're going to look foolish, because they've been talking and harping and banging on this drum about repeal and replace. Replace with what? Donald Trump now talking about a plan that he says will cover all Americans. It says that all Americans should have health insurance. Now, that's something that most Americans agree with, whether it's constitutional or not. Most Americans agree with the idea that people should be protected against catastrophic illness and bankruptcy. And it's something that's been talked about a lot, and we'll continue to follow this as it happens. I think that, obviously, Obamacare will be one of the first things that the president does on Friday. There'll be a whole host of things. I think that he's going to be overturning executive actions. A stack of them is going to be rejected on Friday. All right. And as far as the celebrities go to the inauguration, well, there won't be that many because they keep coming and saying, well, we just can't. But Donald Trump's chairman of the Presidential Inauguration Committee, Tom Barrack, says he's not bothered by it. And if you don't want to attend the inauguration, that's okay. He said, now it's kind of interesting, though, that some celebrities are actually asking for tickets. Tom Barrack talked about that here yesterday. Here it is. Clip 9. Go.
What a country, right? That you've got an inauguration, which is this only peaceful transition of partisan power where this happens. And you can have a TV show, which was hilarious, by the way, that criticizes the process of that inauguration. Is a beautiful tribute to the country. But, you know, it's not about that. I mean, we had the opportunity to have plenty of A-list celebrities, which what the issue was. And the directive from the president-elect was simple. Make it great, make it for the people. And we have three of the greatest celebrities in the world here already. We have President Obama, number one celebrity in the world as it exists today. We have this, Washington, D.C., which is a stage that is incomparable anywhere in the world. And we have the president-elect, Donald Trump, who certainly on everybody's list is one of the top celebrities in the world. So I respect the celebrities. They're all friends of mine. I just tell everybody, get over it. Get on side. Let's give this man a chance. He's now the president for all of us. And I have to tell you, in the last week, I've gotten hundreds of calls from lots of my friends who are saying, can I get tickets? And the bottom line is they can't. We're sold out of
it. So now you're saying the celebrities, and now they want in?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Now some of the celebrities want in because they want to be there. Who knows? Here's something else. And I was just talking about this with a friend of mine yesterday about Donald Trump's tax returns. I don't think anybody cares. And yet here's a brand new ABC News Washington Post poll saying that 74% of Americans want to see Trump's tax returns. I don't believe that's accurate. I don't think that many people really care. They care about moving this country forward, and what he's got on his tax returns at this point means little or nothing. It's the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
But it must have been the wrong time. I'd have said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line.
All right. Well, you know, the thought police are out enforcing. I wonder if George Orwell were alive today, if he'd go, gosh, it's worse than I expected. Or if he'd say, that's about what I expected. You know, when it comes to the thought police, the news speak, up is down, black is white, in is out, right is wrong, war is peace, and so on and so forth. You know, so many people offended by things now. And I think that the First Amendment in this country is under fire every day. And when I say that, some people, they look at me like I have three heads. But it's like, if you don't see it, I think you're missing something important. My next guest here to discuss it a little bit more in detail, Dr. Nick Overheiden. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, your firm in Dallas-Fort Worth, you're an attorney specializing in federal cases, Should the government be able to veto a rock band's name when it comes to trademark protection and so forth? Now, we heard this come up when the government said that they would not protect the Washington Redskins from trademark infringement because, well, it's offensive to some people. Well, there's this band called the Slants. They've been around for actually quite a long time. They're an Asian rock band, kind of a tongue-in-cheek name, but they can't register their band's name because it's considered offensive to Asians. I mean, at what point do we draw the line, sir?
Well, we will see how the Supreme Court decides. And indeed, this is an interesting case. This is a young musician, Asian American, who has been battling the federal government since 2011. And all Simon Tam wants is to have his band name, The Slant, be protected as a trademark. So what he did is he applied. It was denied. He appealed. It was denied. He went to court. It was denied. And here we are, Simon Tam with his band ending up at the U.S. Supreme Court, who is tasked to decide whether or not the expression, the slants, is disparaging and offensive, keeping in mind, just like as you pointed out, he is Asian American, and he is not offended, nor are the band members. And the question really is the First Amendment here being ridiculed by saying this is not protected speech? You know, we have some trademarks in existence that I can't even pronounce on air and on the radio. And, you know, if they are not offensive, how is the slant offensive? So this is important for the U.S. Supreme Court, even though there are only 8 justices right now, to step in and to come up with a decision that keeps in mind and considers cases like the Westboro Baptist Church case. You know, if the court there in this case decided that disparaged and hateful speech for, you know, verbal attacks at the graveyards of fallen soldiers is covered and protected by the First Amendment, I'm having a hard time imagining how the slant is not.
Well, here's the thing that I find disconcerting about this. First of all, it's a free speech issue to me, and it's very simple and very clear in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. I mean, and how far would you go? Do you ban the Indians, the Braves, the Chiefs because they're offensive to Native Americans? Maybe the term Vikings is offensive to Norwegians, or Buccaneers offensive to people whose ancestors were pirates. I mean, at what point? It just becomes a point of absurdity, which is why America, in my opinion, Doctor, was based on free speech and the notion of Voltaire that even though I may not agree with a single word you say, I will defend the death your right to say it, at least attributed to Voltaire by some, and some say it's anonymous. But you get my point, Doctor. At what point, and who gets to decide what's offensive and what's not?
Well, importantly, the trademark office should not be the what you call the thought police or policing what is convenient and what is likable. You pointed out we as a nation have chosen that we allow people to say what they want. And the First Amendment, you know, sometimes we disagree, we are opposed, and some things are provocative and offensive. But, you know, the First Amendment is not about your or my taste. It's about the freedom to say what you and I want to say within certain small parameters. And this is really a case where I would be shocked. It would be a constitutional shock, in my opinion, if the U.S. Supreme Court declares this to be outside First Amendment protection.
So that's where I'm confused, Doctor. You have to clarify that for me. I might be a little obtuse today. But how could trademark protection be outside of First Amendment protection? Now, I know that common words, the sky, for example, you can't trademark the sky, but you can trademark different things, and the slant certainly would be a trademark that would be available. But how is it outside of First Amendment protection?
Well, essentially, in order for a trademark to be protected and granted, it must satisfy a federal statute, the Lanham Act. And that statute essentially says we will not grant you a trademark if the trademark suggestion is disparaging and offensive. And the question really among, a convoluted other legal questions is this statement, this section of this federal statute on its face unconstitutional? Is it constitutional to disallow trademarks because they are disparaging to some? And that's really the question for copyright and trademark purposes that the U.S. Supreme Court has to decide.
And then the question is, how many people are offended? Is it one person? Is it a million people? That's where, you get into a sticky wicket that's just a mess, Doctor. But I'm going to keep a close eye on this case, and I want you to come back once it winds its way through the Supreme Court, because I think it's fascinating, and I appreciate you bringing it to our attention and talking more about it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Dr. Nick Oberheiden here from Dallas-Fort Worth, an attorney specializing in federal cases like this. By the way, I came up with one more team name that I think is highly offensive. It's the Lions, and I believe the Lions are insulting to all African game animals because of the hapless and helpless performance on the football field for 53 years. I mean, what African animal isn't offended by the Lions and their dismal performances over 53 years? I find that highly offensive, should not be trademarked. 25 after on the Steve Gruber Show.
Covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge, here is Steve Gruber.
All right, welcome back to it. It's Tuesday, just 2.5 days, or was it 3.5, whatever. It's been. Donald Trump becomes president at the end of the week, that's what I know. My next guest, one of my favorites, who, not a Trump supporter in the beginning, but certainly not a Hillary supporter, I think I can say that safely. I don't think I've talked to her since the election was over. So, Teslin Figaro, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me, Steve. I was just thinking I have to come through to Michigan.
Yeah.
Hang out with you in the bunker below the bridge and do some live radio with you.
You got it, and I'm glad to have you here. You know, a couple of days ago I did this. I suspect you might be one of the people that does this, but I went back and on YouTube now you can find the best meltdowns of election night, and they've got them strung together. And I watch them, and I watch the Young Turks is just these guys are a train wreck, and they're an awful train, but it's so delicious to watch. You might enjoy some of that from time to time, just watching these people go to pieces. It's still fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and they're still doing it right now. It's amazing to be just a couple of days before election. I was listening to Joe Scarborough talk this morning about the polls, and it just reminded me of Michael Cohen when you said, what polls? The media has certainly been shown that the polls are not as reliable as they seem to think, and they're still pushing that narrative, not understanding that Donald Trump is going to continue to be the Donald Trump that got him elected. And he just refuses to let mainstream media take his narrative and own it. And I love it. I just respect that so much.
Well, I was just watching, and I just saw a poll come out a little bit ago from the Washington Post that says 74% of Americans still want to see Donald Trump's tax returns. And I'm like, no, they don't. They don't even care. They elected the guy. They're ready to do something different. Uh-huh. They want to see the polls. Uh-huh. And John Lewis is going to not attend the inauguration. And I'm like, and so what? He didn't attend George W. Bush's inauguration either. Is that supposed to be important to me? I mean, I don't get it. The narrative from the media gets worse and worse, and it's not helping them. It's not working for them, is it?
Well, it really backfired yesterday when Martin Luther King III met with Donald Trump on Martin Luther King Day. And I've been constantly tweeting saying, I'm looking for the backlash. They attacked Steve Harvey, who met with him on last week, called him everything but a child of God. Obviously the John Lewis meltdown has been going on for 3 or 4 days straight, because John Lewis marched with Martin Luther King. But what about Martin Luther King's son, who actually met with Trump? And you don't see a lot of that in mainstream media. Fox, which, I'm a contributor at Fox, they've been the only one that has been pushing that narrative, and the left has pretty much just ignored it because it goes against everything that they say about him being a racist, everything they say about him not reaching out to the black community. And it's really unfair because Pastor Darrell Scott, Reverend James Davis, has worked tirelessly over the election to try to get more African Americans involved, but they just refuse to do it mainly because of their constituents. They don't mind.
Let me ask you something. This is important because you hit on something very important here. First of all, Martin Luther King Jr. III said they had a very constructive meeting, was positive. He's going to give Donald Trump a chance, but he also said, or alluded to that he's going to hold Donald Trump accountable for what he does as president, as he should, as sure. all Americans should hold him accountable for what he does. But as I look at this, isn't Donald Trump reaching out to the African-American community and other communities as well, but the African-American community in a more effective way than Barack Obama did? I mean, serious question.
No question. I mean, when you talk about, it's not that he has not been trying. He has. You know, personal friends of mine, you know, Pastor Scott, Reverend Davis, has worked tirelessly, Omarosa as well, to try to get people around the table to have the conversations. They've refused to. They've been shunned. There were over 100 pastors that had planned to meet with Trump when he was running for office, and Pastor Jamal Bright, Brian called a did a huge Periscope denouncing those pastors and telling those ministers not to support, tell their congregations not to support those ministers. So he has done outreach, Steve, but nobody's going to beg anybody, you know, and I don't blame him. The white, black, whoever. One thing Trump is certainly not a politician. He's not going to beg a Republican just as well as he's not going to beg a black person or a Spanish person. You're either with him or you're with him or you're not, you're not. And it's just that simple and plain, and that's not racist.
What I
That's
see,
saying I'm not going to run around and kiss tail if you don't want to be on the train. You're either on or off or getting left, period.
On the line, Teslin Figaro, but by the way, former National Justice Director for Bernie Sanders, founder of Teslin Figaro Communications. You were not a Donald Trump supporter to begin with, but it sure sounds like you've come this way. Now, what I get from Donald Trump, the impression I get, he doesn't care if you're black or white. He doesn't care if you're a man or woman. He cares if you're the best person to get a task completed and completed well. To me, he's looking for the best people to do the best job possible. That's what I see.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. In the private sector, which I'm a supporter of, and, you know, people ask me, do I support this person, that person? I didn't support Bernie Sanders, the man, but I supported his ideology about anti-establishment. I didn't support him as socialist views. I don't support Trump as a person, but I support his support of the private sector and getting people back to work. So I try to be really careful with saying I'm a party affiliated or person affiliated. I am independent, and there are views that I support with Trump, just like there's views I'm sure I'll disagree with him on as well.
No, so you're making the point that some of the more scathing or ridiculous or offensive things that he said, you certainly don't embrace those things, but you embrace the idea of free markets and free people and economic freedom, which has created more liberty on this planet than anything else. Economic freedom, the choice to do what you please, to create your own wealth and your own create your own business, your own kingdom, your own path, if you will. That's what you support.
Absolutely. I'm a job creator, Steve. In Orlando, I had 300 employees. It was a staffing firm, and I had to shut down due to health care reform. And now this is the first time that I've had a job that I cannot afford health care through my employer. It's just that expensive. So I am with replacing health care reform, not necessarily repealing, because it has saved a lot of people who don't work and have insurance. But for those of us who do work, we are being penalized with high deductibles and
no
also
question.
High premiums.
I think that I think the majority of Americans do, whether it's constitutional or not, I think the majority of Americans in 2017 believe there should be a baseline of coverage for all Americans, regardless of your income, some sort of a safety net, not a hammock, but a safety net to make sure that people can see a doctor if they need to. And I think that people would like to figure out a way that if you do get, you know, terribly sick, you get cancer, for example, that you don't bankrupt yourself and end up, you know, on the street homeless because of illness. I think that people agree with those things, but we don't agree with giving everything to everybody all the time. There should be a base level of support and protection, not necessarily constitutional. I'm sure I'll get people that push back against this, but I think that is what the majority of Americans think, and I think they believe that since Teddy Roosevelt first suggested the idea more than a century ago. What do you think?
Absolutely, and they also believe that people who work should not be penalized, and I think people get that conversation confused with race or class, but it's not that. It's just the simple fact that more hardworking Americans in the middle class may lean towards one ethnic group or the other, and I think that conversation gets washed out, and for African Americans who are working, who are in the system, simply don't want to speak against it because it seems as if we're going against our poorer brothers and sisters and being against them, and that's just not the case. For me and my child, one child, I would have to spend over $400+ a month for insurance through an employer, and then still pay a $5,000 deductible without paying it with nothing, with the insurance company paying nothing. Well, I don't go to the doctor enough to have that type of deductible, so I just have zero insurance because I can't qualify for Obamacare because I make too much money. So it's not fair to me have to pay out of pocket every single time unless I had some, you know, recurrent illness that required me to go to the doctor a lot. And so a lot of us are being screwed, and it's a lot of black people, Steve, that believe in this but just simply won't do it because they'll get bashed from left to right. I mean, they killed Steve Harvey this week. Calling him every
and Steve Harvey's a good, he's a good guy. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. We're out of time there, Tez, but everything that I read about the guy, I find him, you know, entertaining to watch, but everything I read about, he's a good guy. He didn't deserve any of that. Tez, I've got to run, but you're great. Want to have you on whenever you're available. Love you. Tez and Figaro,
thank you. Love you, too. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you so much. Tez and Figaro here on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
All right, it's 45 after. Now, as you guys know, I'm heading off to D.C. here for the inauguration. We'll do a couple of days broadcasting from the Kirby Center, from the Hillsdale College radio facilities there. Security's going to be tight, but we hope to have some of those folks in studio. We're just not sure what the logistics are going to be or how difficult that's going to be, but either way, we're going to continue to be down there. Now, if you're looking for something else to do to mark the occasion of the inauguration of the 45th president, I've got something for you. It's called Battle Cry, and it's going to be put on in part by Michonne Maddock with the Michigan Conservative Coalition. She was an RNC convention delegate and one of two votes from Michigan on the RNC platform committee. She's also running against Scott Hagerstrom for the chairman of the Michigan Republican Party. She joins me now. Michonne, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
You've got a lot going on, it seems.
Yeah, right now it does seem that way. But, you know, that's the nature of politics. Ever since Trump came in, it's just been nonstop.
Work, work, work. I think that's going to be the hallmark of his administration. Work, work, and then when you're done with that, do some more work. And that's okay. America needs a stronger work ethic, in my estimation. So tell me about this Battle Cry event that's going on simultaneously with the inauguration. Kind of a get-together, a celebration, is it not?
It is. This is our second event. We were last year also in January, and so this year, really the reason that we chose this weekend was, first of all, because it's going to be the inauguration, and we knew a lot of people that can't get to Washington, D.C., were going to want to celebrate, and we wanted to join them. We worked really hard to get President Trump elected, and so we picked the 20th and the 21st. And the other reason is that is exactly 1 week before county conventions all across the state of Michigan. And a lot of what we do is organize delegates on how to be prepared for convention.
Okay, so then before we get off the Battle Cry event, it's on the 20th and 21st, Friday and Saturday. Where is it being held?
The Soaring Eagle Resort in Mount Pleasant.
Okay, so centrally located for pretty much anybody in Michigan. Anybody listening to this radio program from Marquette to Monroe and all points in between, you can get to Soaring Eagle. Everybody's heard of it, of course.
Yeah.
The 20th and 21st. What kind of an event is it? I know that I've seen some flyers. You've got some really good speakers and some events going on. Just tell the folks what's happening during this two-day event.
Right. Well, Friday night really is a celebration. It's all about Trump, all about the inauguration. We're going to we have on the live screen, we will have the actual when he's been inaugurated. So we'll have video clips of what happened throughout the day in the parade. So people will be able to tune in and look at that. But our event starts at 7 p.m. We've got heavy appetizers, a cash bar, a live band, dancing, and it's really just going to be a great time. Not to scare people off, you don't have to wear a formal ball gown. I mean, you can if you want, but we're calling it the black and white ball, and pretty much anything that you have that's black or white, you can wear.
All right, and that sounds like a pretty good event overall. Meanwhile, like I said, you've got a lot going on. You're running for the chair of the RNC here, the Republican chair for Michigan. What do you make of that? How did you get into that race?
I'm actually running with Scott Hagerstrom.
Okay.
So Scott is running as chair of the Michigan Republican Party. He led Michigan as Trump's campaign chair.
I knew that. I mean, I know Scott. I got to know him through this process, so I knew that.
Oh, great.
So
okay,
I guess I misunderstood. I thought you were running against him. My mistake.
No,
you're running with him.
I worked hard with him. So I'm running. He asked me to join him on the ticket as his co-chair. So we're running together. And we're really excited. We're really excited about continuing the Trump message that we worked so hard for in Michigan the last year and continuing that with our state party.
Well, obviously, with Ronna Romney McDaniel being elevated to the national chair position, that's obviously, well, that's quite a feather in the cap for Michigan as well, is it not?
It is. And we worked really hard with the state party. and we feel like we know the changes that could be made to make it better. And really, it's about the grassroots driving the agenda of the new Michigan Republican Party. We want to continue the message that Trump had, which means that special interests in the era of elitists and that have controlled Michigan politics through cash and cronyism is over. You know, we saw that Trump's, his message is vital, and it's no longer just money without a powerful message that is the winning solution.
Well, there need to be some changes, that's for sure. So speaking of that, when you look at the first 100 days, a lot of talk about that. We've talked about Obamacare, but what else? We've talked about it all morning is what I mean. What else on the list of things, when you look at things that could, if you will, make America great again, what are the things that you're looking for from a President Trump right out of the gate? The first few things you're looking for that you would think would benefit the state of Michigan?
Well, first of all, wow, Trump has already continued his winning message before he's even elected. I mean, just look at what he's done to Michigan, bringing jobs back already. And I think we're going to see a lot of Trump's message, which, you know, people laughed at, all of the haters out there. But I think we're going to win so much that we're going to get tired of winning. And I don't even think Trump, I think the inauguration is just a small little stepping stone. You know, he's going to enjoy himself that night, but he's
actually
already hard at work for us.
Yeah, actually, I'll tell you this, Michonne. I think that I don't think you and I are going to get tired of winning. I think we're going to enjoy it. But I think the Democrats who continue to try to drive Trump, the expectations lower and lower, which they've done, they keep driving it lower and lower. So small victories will be big victories because they've made the bar so low. I think the Democrats will get sick and tired of hearing about Trump winning. That's what I think is going to happen. They're going to get sick
and
tired of hearing about it.
I can't imagine, because he is going to make America great again for everybody. His message is a message of unity. I truly believe that in my heart. And I think that people are just going to be drawn to him, and that includes Democrats. So I am really hopeful that true unity, and I hate to use that word, but because it's tossed around so much, but I really feel like people on the other side won't be able to help but see that a prosperous America is going to be good for them and their children, and that's going to draw them to him.
No question. All right, so a battle cry. 2017 to be held at Soaring Eagle. Is there a place people can go real quickly to find some more information?
It's real easy. Go to battlecrymichigan.com and sign up. It's very inexpensive. $69 gets you both days. Even if you just came Friday night, you're going to be there with over 200 people in Michigan supporting Donald Trump's inauguration and have a great time with great people just like you. And we welcome everyone. This is an inauguration celebration. Easy. Go to battlecrymichigan.com.
Michonne, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a great conversation. Enjoyed having you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Michonne Maddock here on the program, battlecrymichigan.com for more. Some final thoughts after this. All right, I need to share something with you right now that is absolutely shocking. This comes from an elementary school teacher in my former district. I want to turn that music down. I want you to listen to this. Dear parents, because I am concerned about my students and your children being exposed to language and behavior that is not in concert with the most conservative social and family values, I have decided to show the inauguration of Donald Trump this Friday, but not Mr. Trump's inauguration speech. Because every peaceful transition of power is a historic moment, I put into the request to the Trump team to preview the speech. Oh, yeah, because an elementary school teacher should get a preview of the speech. Are you joking? But I've not heard back from them. No kidding. I showed the speeches of Presidents Obama and Bush in 2009 and 2005, respectively, but I'm anxious about showing Mr. Trump's inaugural address, given his past inflammatory and degrading comments about minorities, women, and the disabled. I'm also uneasy about Mr. Trump's casual use of profanity, so I sought an assurance that as their teacher, I would not be exposing children to language that would not appear as rated G or PG. I do not know if Mr. Trump's speech is something that would be provided to the press or concerned citizens beforehand, but these plans may change if I hear back from them. This is from a school teacher in a local district who I'll be calling today directly. This is absurd. Because of inflammatory and degrading comments about minorities, women, and the disabled, half of America doesn't agree with you. And how dare you, sir, decide to try to to slant your coverage, to spin your coverage of your personal views. Obviously not a Trump supporter, so you don't like the man that was elected, so you're going to tell school children, in effect, that it's not appropriate to watch this guy because you think he might say something inflammatory, which, of course, he won't. This is foolish behavior from a school teacher, and I'm guessing there's a lot more of it, and I'll be looking to hear from you over the next couple of days. Send me all you've got. Go to the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. Send me, post, and put it up there. Send me all you've got from teachers saying they're afraid of what Donald Trump might say. He might offend someone. Yeah, you know, I spent my childhood being offended by things my father said until later in life when I realized I'm really thankful he said those things to me. And he set me on the straight and narrow to get my head, you know, clear. My mother as well. We'll get to the bottom of this one, and trust me. And until then, keep the faith. I'm Steve Gruber. We'll talk tomorrow.